Last month, the Tony Awards ceremony was held at the Radio City Music Hall in New York City, and our next two guests were there to receive their Tony. It's something that has never happened in the state of Wisconsin before. Our own Broadway takes us to Spring Green, where you will find American Players Theater, this year's winner for regional theater at the Tony Awards. And joining us for the next hour is Brenda DeVita, the American Players Theater Artistic Director, and Sarah Young, the Managing Director of American Players Theater. And we want to invite you to the conversation as well, to share your favorite APT experience, or to answer to ask any of the questions you'd like answers to before you go. 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us, talk@WPR.org. And Sarah, welcome back to WPR News.
Hi, good to be here.
And Brenda, welcome back to you.
Thank you so much, Lee. Thanks for having us.
I'm just curious about what it's like to get the call that you have received an EGOT, one of the Emmys, Grammys, Academy Awards, or a Tony. In this case, a Tony for Wisconsin. Brenda, I'll start with you. What was it like when you got the call? Where were you?
I was actually at Governor Dodge State Park on a hike with my daughter and my son-in-law. And I got a call from Sarah. No, I got a call from my husband that said, "You must call Sarah Young right now." And when I get calls like that, it usually is something pretty important at the theater. But then he called back and said, "It's not bad. It's not bad news." And so that's how I got. I had no idea what it was at the time. But Sarah, I'll let Sarah tell the story because she is the one who actually took the call from the folks in New York.
Sarah?
Yeah. It was a Monday. And so Monday is the actor's day off and the whole artistic staff takes the day off on Monday because it's really the only day you can get a day off around here. And so we had a kind of a skeleton crew in the office, and I happened to be by my phone, and they had just called the front desk and asked for Brenda or Sarah, and I happened to be the lucky one to get the call. And I thought they were joking.
Prank call.
Yes. So they got a kick out of talking to me because then I was kind of dumbfounded and had to ask them to repeat things. At one point they tried to explain to me what the Regional Theater Tony was. And I'm like, "Oh no, I'm aware. Thank you so much." So there was much jubilation, and then just, you know, trying to get a hold of Brenda. And then we had to keep it secret for 8 agonizing days.
Oh, wait, you couldn't tell anybody in the company?
We had to keep it very quiet. We kept it as quiet as we could. And there were some people that knew about it because they had, our marketing team, for instance, had to get some information together and so forth.
But they also heard us screaming and crying. I was going to say, what's wrong?
That's
so
true.
People were actually Brenda's in the there. Building are like, yeah. So we had to tell a few people, but we had to keep it off of media, you know, out of the media.
So when I saw this, I thought of what I knew about other awards ceremonies and you know, movies campaign for Oscars. You know, they have entire budgets to try to get an award. They somehow finagle Golden Globes in ways that I'm not too sure of. So what's the process like? Did you have to submit a nomination? Was there a campaign? How does a regional theater like in Spring Green, Wisconsin get a Tony Award?
I'll let Sarah answer like the actual, I mean, we had some board members who were very, very passionate about us getting an award, and they wanted to figure out how to do that. But the fact is, it's not doable in the same way as it is, especially like the Golden Globes and what's known as the actual Trump, you know, the junkets that people go on for the Oscars that are actually financed and stuff. So it's not the same thing. So I'll let Sarah say a little bit about the process.
Yeah, so the American Theater Critics Association is the body that makes a recommendation to the American Theater Wing and the Broadway League, who produced the Tony Awards. And they do that each year, but there's campaigning is quite discouraged, and it's a very secret process. Like, it is not disclosed by how it works at all, and we have really no idea. we know some critics who have told us that they've been supportive of it, and we're supportive of it. So we have some ideas, but it's a process that we are not supposed to be privy to.
Did you even know you were nominated?
No.
So no. It's not even the nominees are, it's just you've won a Tony Award.
Right. Yeah. So right. It's really shocking. And actually, I'm going to be bold to say, I feel like it makes it feel a lot more special in a way. Because
absolutely.
Lots of people say, like, you can't believe you guys haven't gotten a Tony before. And we're like, well, it took them a while to find us, probably, on the map. Because, you know, generally speaking, Tonys go to cities, urban cities, big or small theaters in urban cities and such. So it just, I just think that we've gone about our business for so long that, you know, and done our work in a way that we just hope that the audience is being served in the best possible way. Mm-hmm. And if we do that well, maybe somebody will notice eventually. I mean, we certainly have known, I said this to Sarah when we got the Tony, I said, there's been so many people who work with us, some that have been nominated for Tonys on their own, for their own work outside of APT. But certainly we've had performances and artists here that we know, if it had been told many times, if that had been in New York, that had gotten a Tony nomination. And so we have so many talented, and so grateful to have so many talented people that work with us. So it's for all those guys. I mean, everybody that works here, everybody on staff, and everybody gets to share, and the audience itself gets to share in this Tony. So that makes
actually
it really
literally you can, because when you go to a performance, the Tony is just out there. I had my picture taken with the both of you when I was up there recently, and I'm like, shouldn't there be a glass case? Shouldn't there be a security guard? Aren't there pillows
there
that
will
you
be.
Put it
no
on?
No security guard, but we'll have a glass case.
We are making a little house for the Tony that's going to be up there that will be in eventually. But we have just gotten such a kick out of it. We sort of had the idea. It's like, let's take it up there and then see if anybody wants to get their picture taken. We had no idea if people would be interested in it or not. And when we started doing it, people are just tickled to see it, hold it. We're like, yeah, give it a spin. See how heavy it is. We don't want to be precious about it.
Well, and it's just like,
you
both have said that now, that the reason it's out there for us to share with you is because we're part of it too. You know, when you sit in that, thousand seat outdoor amphitheater, you feel that you are part of the performance along with everything around you. It all pulls you in. Brenda, something else you mentioned is you've been around for so long, and it's 47th season at the American Players Theater. So for those that are not familiar with what lies in Spring Green's lush hills. Sarah, can you give us a brief history of APT?
Sure. APT was founded in, the first performance was in 1980, July 18th, 1980. It was founded by a group of theater artists, Charles Bright, Anne Occhio Grosso, and Randall Duck Kim. They had been working together for a number of years, and Randy had been acting at the Guthrie Theater and had toured to Wisconsin and thought that audiences here were good. This is all a little bit apocryphal, but I think we've done our research pretty well on it. And so they started looking for a site, and where APT is now was a farmstead. And the family that lived here, one of the woman that lived here was kind of the local community theater woman. And she knew that there was this place up on this hill that was kind of a magical acoustical thing. And so that, anyways, long story short, the founders came to town, they all went up that hill, and that was the spot. So then they set about making a theater there.
You have two Shakespeare plays this season, and I think the first performance was actually A Midsummer Night's Dream in 1980. How mm-hmm. central is Shakespeare's work to American Players Theater, Brenda?
It is central. We actually believe in the old adage that's often tossed around when you're in grad school or theater training, that if you can do Shakespeare well, you can do anything. And I think that we actually believe that a bit, because when you read Shakespeare, and Shakespeare is not actually meant to be read, it's meant to be performed and listened to. And when you read Shakespeare, we often, as you know, many of us in school, we're like, what is this? I mean, how do we make sense of this? And then you think, oh, there's just really talented people that can do that. But actually we've learned and believe and really, really stake our claim on the fact that artists that are interested in poetry, interested in language, interested in the way that poetry works and how they can make sense of it. Because the whole job of an actor is to make something specific enough in their minds and hearts and bodies and live it and do it and act on it in a way that makes you understand it, even if you read it on a page and you didn't. And that's why when you can do Shakespeare well and make it specific, make it personal, make us feel things, make us laugh at words that maybe we didn't really think we knew, but in context, we all of a sudden feel incredibly smart and incredibly able, you know, to share in something that feels so arcane. And it makes that gap, that very gap between the time it was written and now, just disappear. And I think that that's the magic of live theater generally, is that you can make words on a page, like the gap between humans, just disappear. And when you can do that over centuries, where all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, they were afraid of the same thing, or they laughed at the same thing, or they had the same desires, or the same, had the same sins, you know, they did the same things wrong. So I feel like we just will always, and it's become a staple of our actual brand, is that people come and think that we change the words to the Shakespeare plays and we make it easier for people to understand and we rewrite them. And that's just not the case. And we do cut things. We are not as true to the original text as the founders were. They were very, very devout in their choice to not ever change or cut a word. We do that over the last 47 years, have learned that we have a taste for some cuts, but we try very, very hard, very hard, to stay true to the language of the plays and to make sure the artists that work here are game for that. And that's why we have a voice and text staff. And that's why, so Shakespeare is the way we train artists. And if they get the bug, they want to come back. And that's the most exciting thing, is when the audience can understand Shakespeare coming out of those actors' mouths.
I don't think I've ever understood Shakespeare so well than the way you explain it, as it is a different experience on the page than it is on the stage. On the page, it can leave you wondering what's actually happening, but when it's brought to life by somebody who understands it and can perform it, it is an experience that draws you into it, and you begin to understand the timelessness of it. I really appreciate that. It's Brenda DeVita. She's the artistic director of the American Players Theater. Also with us, Sarah Young, the managing director. And I want to invite you to our conversation to share your experience with American Players, your favorite performance or performers, or your questions before you make plans to go to Spring Green. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email talk@wpr.org. Sarah Young, talk about everybody earning this Tony Award for the American Players Theater. When we say everybody, what does that mean at APT?
We mean our whole audience, which at this point is about almost 100,000 people each season.
Wow.
Come to a performance at APT. A little less now since the pandemic, but about 95,000 last year. And then our staff, we have 35 people on staff year round. But then seasonally, when all the artists come in for the season and everybody to run the theater, we have about 300 people.
Wow.
For APT. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Each season. And then, of course, it's for everybody who's ever worked here, too.
Sure. But yeah. 300 in the season, you don't see that many as a cast on the stage.
Right.
So it gives you a glimpse of how much work it takes to put on what you get to enjoy at the outdoor theater on the hill or the indoor theater.
Absolutely. So many people behind the scenes. And we make everything. It's different. And most people realize, some people don't realize, that it's not like there's a truck pulling up with a whole show. Everything is made here. Shows are designed, built to specifications.
Costumes, settings, props.
Yeah, Brenda.
Yeah, I would love for anybody to come out. I just took it, my son's friends came, a bunch of them, and we took a tour. And I just asked Sarah, she has friends coming this week. We always give tours to people who come. And you should take a tour. They're available to anybody that wants to visit APTs. But it never fails. They're like, what? What? Are you kidding me? They make the wigs hair by hair. You know, my sister, one of my favorite stories, she came to see things in our incredible milliner, Michael Hansen, who is here for well over 3 decades. Brilliant milliner, was making a hat. He was putting a pearl on a piece of netting on a hat. And she said, oh my God, who's going to see that? And he said, that's how we do it here. We make it so we see it, that the person in the front row can see it. And it's for the actor to wear and understand that she's a queen. So I think that those kind of stories, that kind of pride in the craftsmanship that I have to be honest is less and less available to people in the theater business to make the thing that they get to see on stage for the shows on the actors that they know. It's a really remarkable pride that the craftsmen, and we have incredible, our return rate on the people who work here seasonally is ridiculous. We have people here for 45 years. We have people here for 40 years.
Yeah. You've been there for how long, Brenda?
This will be my 32nd season.
And how long for you, Sarah?
24.
Yeah. There's just some places you just don't leave. I'd like to go to your questions and stories about American Players Theater next at 1-800-642-1234. And we'll start with Liz in Washburn. Hi, Liz.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. What do you have for us today?
So I'm calling to say congratulations, and I'll try to do it without crying. When I was at UW-Madison, I worked for my whole 4 years with Helen O'Brien at University Extension. I spent so much time on her farm with her and walked the hills with her. That would have been in the early and then mid-70s. She was a lifelong friend. And walked the hills, and she'd say, wouldn't this make a beautiful spot for an amphitheater?
Oh, wow. So this is the woman whose farm became American Players Theater, Helen O'Brien. Yeah. What was she like, Liz?
Helen was all, I want to say she was 100% soul. You know, she spoke from the heart, from her soul, whenever she spoke. She was driven. She spread the gospel of theater. That is what she did with her life. And now for me to know that you wonderful people are doing these exquisite performances at the amphitheater just makes me so happy. And I know she's watching. I know Helen's in the audience.
Oh, and what's it like for you, Liz, when you get to visit Spring Green and go to a performance at American Players Theater?
I couldn't be more thrilled for all of you. Actually, I'm coming Sunday night to see As You Like It. I think the last show I saw was Taming of the Shrew. I live way up north, so I don't get down to Spring Green that often. But, I mean, the work is exquisite. You go to see the work, and it never fails to just go, this is why anyone would ever go to the theater. So congratulations. I'm smiling so big for you right here in Washington.
We're crying.
We're crying.
We're crying. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. It's yours, too. And it's certainly Helen. We all have, none of us got to know her, but there's photos of her around town in Spring Green, and I know Sarah is a big fan. We admire, we feel like we get to, I'm going to cry now. We get to do what we do because of her, women that sat out there and said, no, this is worth it. This will make life better. Mm. And she gave us real purpose. And I used to work in the shed that was a lean-to against the barn when I first started here. And I remember someone said, I think that Helen's husband built that shed or something. Anyway, we all are very grateful for her vision.
And Liz, I am so grateful you called. Thank you so much for joining us today. Let's go to Anne in Marshfield next. Anne, hi.
Hello. I'm so happy for the staff at American Players Theater. It's so great. I have a couple of stories from when I attended years ago. The famous line in Hamlet, alas, poor Yorick, I knew him well. Well, James DeVita delivered that in a way I had never heard, and it totally changed the line for me. He said, alas, poor Yorick, I knew him well. And it just changed the meaning for the line for me. And then I saw Randall Duck Kim playing Puck, and he scraped the floor with his hoof. Many wonderful memories. You guys opened Shakespeare to me in wonderful ways. I thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Anne, thank you for the call. And as I believe Liz mentioned, you have a couple of Shakespeare performances this season, As You Like It and The Two Gentlemen of Verona. Brenda, what can you tell us about these plays?
Well, they're both delightful. I mean, As You Like It is basically written to be played in the Forest of Arden. And when you go see As You Like It at other theaters, really beautiful productions, they're almost always trying to put a forest on stage. And here we don't have to do that. here you get to have the forest as you walk up. And the thing that the director, Laura Rook, it's her first Shakespeare on the Hill for us, which is a big deal. She's one of our core company members. She's a brilliant artist. And I knew she loved that play. And so we talked about her directing it. And she said, we come to APT as people to have nature teach us things, have art teach us things, and have the experience of being in nature open our eyes. And there's very, very beautiful, very famous words in As You Like It to that effect. And it just kind of mirrors the experience of the audience, I think. It's also very funny. We have a brilliant David Daniel playing Jaques in that production, and it's Elizabeth Lado playing Touchstone. The clowns are very funny, and our Rosalind is one of our young core company members, Samantha Newcomb, and she is just astounding in that piece. The way she makes the language and the heart and the soul of that young woman come alive, it's so accessible, it's so successful. I'm really proud of it. It has a lovely, beautiful surprise at the end of the play that I'm not gonna ruin for anybody, but there's a beautiful event at the end of the play that is unexpected and quite it just fills the whole story up. And then Two Gentlemen of Verona is a play that we haven't done for a long time, and it's a play that has historically a pretty problematic ending, because Shakespeare wrote that play at a time when most of the women's situations were explained to the world by men.
This might have been one of his early works, right?
Very early first, yeah. First comedy, straight up comedy, I believe. If I'm wrong, someone will call me and tell me I'm wrong, but call here and tell me I'm wrong. But it's a very early comedy, and the ending of the play has a kind of like two guys saying, hey, sorry, I offended your girlfriend, and I'm sorry, I tried to sleep with her. And the guy says, that's okay. I mean, very different language, but basically that's the circumstance. So it puts that play in a position of being like, okay, yes, it was written when it was written. Yes, it's but you put that with women, and you put that with young actresses who love Shakespeare and want to understand how to do it better. And you have to make context really important. And so the director, Aaron Posner, is directed many things for us. Very, very incredible director, wonderful writer. He wrote Stupid Effing Bird, which, he became very famous and has since written many, many plays, and is been with us a long time. And he said, I love this play. It's about young people making really bad mistakes and forgiving each other. And we all know young people who make really bad mistakes. We were young people who made really bad mistakes. So his approach to the play is full of love for young people.
He's also in the credits, Brenda, he's also credited with adapting this. So this is to some degree an adaptation of The Two Gentlemen of Verona from Shakespeare. And I would imagine an updated in a way that could, you know, get over some of the perhaps troubling parts.
Tricky bits, we call it tricky. Actually, it's very true to Shakespeare. It's 99% or 97% Shakespeare. I think he does take some artistic license in the end of that piece to try to remedy, with those actresses in mind and with their input, remedy. So that's why we call it an adaptation. He also added music, because there's already three songs in that piece. And his inspiration for Two Gents was this. It kind of has this kind of down home feeling to it. It kind of has this kind of young people leaving their leaving home and going to the big city, and then how that affects who they are. And I think his inspiration was, he had wandered, and he's from Oregon. He was in the area. I'm going to mess this all up, but this is the story I remember. He's walking down the road, and he left a farmer's market, and he, go ahead.
We're running out of time here. We've got to take a quick break, but we'll get to what happened with Aaron at the farmer's market and how that became the current performance of Two Gentlemen of Verona at American Players Theater. That's Brenda DeVita along with Sarah Young, who I want to know about how you select the plays that you put on the stage, because that's got to be a tough choice. So I've got a couple of questions for our guests from the Tony Award-winning American Players Theater in Spring Green. I'm guessing you do as well, at 1-800-642-1234 or email email us, talk@WPR.org. Our conversation with APT continues next. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you are listening to WPR News. Now in its 47th season, just last month, American Players Theater in Spring Green was recognized with a Tony Award for Regional Theater, and for good reason. Taking Shakespeare from the page and bringing it to life in the hills of the Driftless region, if you've had the experience and would like to share your favorite memories, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Or perhaps if you have a question or want to plan ahead, you can also email us, talk@WPR.org. Our guests are Managing Director Sarah Young and Artistic Director Brenda DeVita. And Brenda, I'm sorry I got caught up in the conversation before the break. I forgot we had to take a break there. But you were telling us the story of adapting The Two Gentlemen of Verona by Shakespeare and how Aaron Posner has taken this and updated it in a way that we can all relate to. And it has something to do with the farmer's market.
Yeah, he's at a farmer's market in Oregon. He's wandering down the road, leaving the market, walking, and he heard a jug band sitting on some porch somewhere. And he said it was just the most amazing thing that these people were just making music up there. So he had that as an inspiration, as a backdrop to these folks and how to present it to the audience. So it's full of beautiful music. It has Greg Kotas, who won the Tony for You're in Town, helped him with the lyrics and the music. Oh. And it's become they're very in rehearsal right now as we speak, right up the hill from us. So yeah, a lot of beautiful music, fiddle and bass and guitar. And
yeah, but a jug band and Shakespeare, I think you'd probably have to see that to believe it.
Yeah, we are going to wait to see it ourselves.
All right, Sarah Young, that brings me to how you figure out what to put on the stage each and every season. I imagine you've got a stack to choose from. You've got plenty of Shakespeare to go. So how do you whittle down what ends up being the performances that folks get to enjoy?
Oh, that's Brenda's job. So I'm going to let Brenda do it together on it, though.
Yes. Yes, of course we do. We don't just put a season out and say, hey, Sarah, figure out how to sell those tickets, figure out how to raise that money. We're always in conversation with with each other about what it's time for, what we can, how many risks we can take, which I think is always our job. Is we have to take risks. We're artists, everything's risky, but we have to take risks. We have to stay true to our mission. So we always start with Shakespeare's. We always choose a couple Shakespeare's and then we go from there. And we call it the gateway drug, which is our non-Shakespeare comedy, unless it's a Midsummer Night's Dream, that's a gateway drug as well to APT. But like Matchmaker this summer, which is just a pure delight, and it's done with such dexterity, with such brilliance. The cast is wonderful, but it's completely accessible to children and families. And I haven't met a person who didn't leave there. It's like going to the old county fair is what it feels like. It's beautiful. So we always have one of those in the season. And we try to challenge the audience with something more dramatic. And we always, in the last 15 years, really worked on expanding what the idea of a classical piece of theater is. So we choose pieces in the Touchstone and sometimes on the Hill that are going to stretch our audience's understanding of what is a universal story for everybody to focus on. And trying to make sure we're always doing our job that theater is for everyone. Mm. Everyone.
So I had the pleasure of enjoying Matchmaker a few weeks ago in Spring Green. And, I Mel Brooks recently celebrated his 100th birthday, and I don't think I've had that many laughs. It is just an intense experience because it's not like a sitcom formula where it's three lines and then a punchline, but there is something to take from each and every line. And the way it gets the audience revved up and the way the characters are brought to life by the actors, I just think it is one of the fun. And the thing is, it's a play by Thornton Wilder, and I feel like Thornton Wilder has been wildly misrepresented by my liberal arts education, because my knowledge of Thornton Wilder was Our Town, which is a fairly serious and somber play with a very stark stage. And you know, it gives you that, I don't know, the dark feeling to walk away from, but the feeling you walk away from with Matchmaker is, isn't there so many wonderful things out there, even, you know, even in a place with stratified class and you know, gender issues, that's all brought up in the Matchmaker. It's not like it's taking place in some platitude. It's taking place in a real world. And while this, I believe, debuted on Broadway in the 50s, right? It's still so yep. contemporary today. I just can't not. It was such a wonderful experience, and it hurt my sides.
It's funny. My son just said all his friends that are all 30, 35 or whatever, they all left. They said, when was that written?
Yeah.
They had to have updated that, right? I mean, they're talking about all the issues that we talk about. I'm like, gosh, that's what we try to do, right? I'm so excited and thrilled by that response, that you felt like it was, you know, that it's so relevant. Sadly,
yeah, well,
and true.
I could relate to so much of it, and yet, and you're rooting for it. But I also want to mention, and this, we talked earlier, you know, Sarah, you've been there. This is your 24th season. Brenda, this is your 32nd season. But then I look at the actors. The actors have been there for, let me see, Tracy Michelle Arnold, who plays Dolly in Matchmaker. It's her 27th season acting with American Players Theater. And you have others who have been, David Daniel, 27th season, James Ridge, 29th season. And that's just the folks in front of the stage. And Sarah, you mentioned how many folks are behind them to support them. What is it that brings everybody back to Spring Green for theater every season?
Oh, well, a lot of hard work and a lot of community. I think in a word, it's about the community that people feel by being here. When I first started working at APT, for the first couple of years, honestly, I'm like, I'm going out to this little tiny town, and this is what am I doing? And then you just buy into it. You get to be a part of something, and you get to be a part of something bigger. And we work really hard, and Brenda can talk about this more too, about creating a culture where everybody is important, everybody is respected, everybody is heard. That works for us. And it extends onto our audience too, that we want our audience to be part of that circle too. So community.
I think the big community is it. It's the whole point of doing theater, in my opinion. It's the whole point. And then my personal opinion and my personal desires as a human is to be in community while I'm working. I don't want my job to be separate from my community. And I got told a lot as a woman running this company at first from a lot of men, to be frank, that said, you know, you're going to have to create some division, you're going to have to create some separation between you and the people you work with. You're in charge now. And I said, I won't do the job then, because the whole point is to be in community. And I think that everybody that comes here, it is not perfect by any means, but we do we spend a lot of time trying to figure out how everyone can feel heard and seen. Not that we can answer every question, and everybody in the audience is going to have their own experience. Some people might not laugh at Matchmaker. I don't know, but to do our best to hear them, at least to hear them out and to understand where they're coming from. So I think that's what the point of theater is. So we try to do that in the way we approach our work.
But it's not just those who have been there for decades now. It is also some young performers who are new and fresh to the business and also putting it all out there on stage. I tell you what, when the second act starts of Matchmaker, there is a small part, a small role. There are no small roles. I get that. But the maitre d' we see for the first time.
Yes.
He walks down center stairs. And sometimes it's, you know, you got to get the audience settled. You're in this outdoor hillside theater and intermission's just taking place. It's been 20 minutes. But the maitre d' walks down center stairs and commands the audience. Like, it just shuts down right there. And just his hand motions without saying a word brings us all back into the scene automatically. And it is an amazing performance. And he's just walked down the stairs and used his arms. I've just, it's well, incredible acting.
Yeah, well, and that's Josh Krause, who is a member of our core company. And this is what we get from our rotating repertory way of doing things, that Josh is a small role in this and he's a bigger role in a different play.
Well, yeah,
Brenda, you can talk more about that.
Yeah, that's thing.
You're saying it. You're doing it. You're saying it. Like, that's what rep gives us.
It gives us
somebody that's going to be a supporting role one place and be the lead in another play. And then they rotate and do that for each other. So it creates a kind of, I'm in this, I got your back all summer long because you want them to have your back when you have a lot to carry in a show.
That is really, so these actors aren't just performing in one of these performances. They're actually doing multiple through the season.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. Most of them are in three of the eight plays that we'll do during the season. So we start rehearsal in the end of April for five plays, the first five plays, three in the Hill Theater, two in the Touchstone. And then those all open in June. And then just last week, they started rehearsal for three more plays. So those will open in August, and there'll be two more on the Hill and one more in the Touchstone. And so most actors are in two of the first five and then one in the one of the last three, because now they're performing at night. So they're only rehearsing for 5 hours during the day. We could have a whole other show about how this schedule works. Our production stage manager, Evelyn Matten, is a brilliant, brilliant person at all those logistics.
I'm just stuck on saying only rehearsing 5 hours a day. Okay. but that is part of the work that I think young and old actors are going out to have that experience. I'm reminded there's a McFarland native, Letitia Hollard, who is one of your alums, who was on last season, a regular on The Pit last season, who was a phenomenon in her own right.
Yep, absolutely. And we see those people come and we're like, we're going to keep them for a tiny minute. Like Carrie Coon. Carrie Coon was here for two or three seasons. I don't remember. And that four seasons. I'm sorry,
wow.
Four seasons. But we knew we probably weren't keeping Carrie forever. But honestly, Carrie attributes a lot of her abilities to do what she does, doing repertory theater, like sitting in a room watching people. Like even when you watch Matchmaker, you have really young people in some big roles.
Yep.
You have people who've been there for a little bit doing medium-sized roles or supporting roles. And then you have someone who's been there like Tracy. And those young women get to watch what Tracy makes look like so, so easy. And they're looking at the page going, I don't understand why this is funny. And then she does it and they're like, oh, it's funny. I get why it's funny now. It's just giving people space to learn, right?
And we did The Matchmaker in 2006 and Tracy played Irene Malloy and learned from Sarah Day,
yes,
who played Dolly and just retired this year from APT's core company.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I had no idea. So this is obviously an education as much as it is a job. And
yeah, you said at the top of your show, it says curiosity. It calls, I can't remember the line, it calls for curious people that listen to your show. We believe that about everybody who comes in play with us at APT. You have to be a curious person or this would feel like drudgery. It'd feel like so much work, you know?
Sarah, the Touchstone's relatively new, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, how recent is that? And this allows a whole nother dimension of performances and opportunities for cast and crew alike. What do you have there this season?
Well, the Touchstone opened in 2009.
Okay.
So it's been going for a little while, but we've three brilliant plays in there, very, very different. One is The Chairs, which again, I'll let Brenda describe the plays to you. She does it so much better than I do. Casey and Diana, which is a wonderful newer play. And then opening in August is Dontrelle Who Kissed the Sea.
What does the Touchstone give you that adds to, before we get to Brenda, what does the Touchstone give American Players Theater that adds to the experience and something that wasn't there before 2009?
Oh, well, so on so many different things. On the very logistical level, it's wonderful for the audience to come in the afternoon when it's warm outside and see a play in the inside where we can dim the lights, we can go to blackout. But more than that, that intimate experience, the theaters are both thrust theaters, they're shaped in a similar way, but with 200 seats versus 1,000 seats, it opens up a whole different dramaturgy. We can do different kinds of plays in there. We can also do plays in there that we wouldn't necessarily be able to sell 1,000 seats a night to. So it just gives us so many more opportunities.
Brenda, The Chairs, briefly, how would you describe this?
Tour de force, virtuosic. I think I'm not kidding. Those two actors in that piece, there's three, and all three of them are brilliant. One of them would not mind me saying those two actors, because he comes in for 5 minutes at the end of the play, Nate Berger. He's brilliant in it. But Colleen Madden and Jim Ridge are putting on, first of all, it's the hardest play we've ever done. It's a brutalist, absurdist play written after the World War II, when all of those kind of absurdist plays were being written, Beckett and Ionesco and many other writers at the time. And it's really, really difficult language. And it is a phenomenon to watch these two actors, along with Vanessa Stalling, who directed it, crack it open. And it's selling out. You can't get a ticket. We've added seats. We've added performances, because anybody who knows Jim Ridge and Colleen, we used to joke that people say, I'd watch Jim Ridge read the phone book. And you're like, well, that's not what it is. But he will be challenged by this piece. But people trust those artists, and they should. They've earned that. They've earned the right to be trusted. And they deliver in some ways, unlike anything else I've ever seen us do. There's a line about it that's written about it called the writing of that time was writing at a time when people were very despaired about the world. I mean, post-World War II, what have we done? And so the lines despair or dance is a guiding idea that I have for the season this year, which is at a time when things seem really, really hopeless at times. You need to find your way to dance. And I think that play is asking that question the entire time. And these two artists, these two artists are dancing and not despairing about how hard that piece was, because they could have. And the audience is dancing along with something that they didn't think they would ever understand. And it's, I could cry thinking about it.
Wow.
We have to choose meaning.
Despair or dance.
Joy. Yeah, despair or dance. And we are dancing.
Brenda DeVita.
And I will just add that there are tickets available, because added some performances. So please get them soon, because they're not going to last too long.
Thank you, Sarah.
The chairs at the Touchstone Theater from American Players Theater. Our guests, Brenda DeVita and Sarah Young. And your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Your experiences as well. You can email us, talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Megan McFarland next. Meg, hi.
Hi. I just have to say congratulations. We, I think, have been going to APT every summer since it opened, and I think we've seen every production of Midsummer Night's Dream, and they were all fantastic. But this last year's performance just blew it out of the water for me with the two-character Puck. That was just absolutely amazing and so much fun. We saw it three times. Oh. And it was so good we had to come back like three times. We live in McFarland, but that's not that far to go. Anyway, one time we went up to Stratford-on-Avon in Canada to see plays with some relatives, and somebody in front of us snored during Hamlet. And we never went back there again, because you just can't equal the energy and, just the vitality that you get at APT.
Energy and vitality is just a perfect description, Meg. I thank you so much for the call. And that's the second plug Puck's gotten on the show today.
Yeah. Puck is popular. We love a Puck.
I also have an email here from Claire, who says her middle school team's been taking groups to the American Players Theater since forever and love it. The kids really get into the drama, as well as little in-jokes, such as a couple of years ago during Much Ado About Nothing, when the actor playing Benedict came on stage dressed like Ken from the Barbie movie, spreads out a towel, shows off his physique, all while staying in character. It fit the storyline, and Claire's students couldn't get enough. Also much beloved are the workshops in which APT actors come to school and take students through a really deep reading and collective performance of one little speech or a scene of a play. I would not be here if it were not for taking the detour into drama and theater and the experience that gave me to go out there on a limb, take chances, and talk to people, which isn't a given. And so, what are, Sarah, I'll ask you, the ways that kids can participate and students can become a part and take it to the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a wonderful series in the fall where we do daytime, like 10 a.m. matinees, and most of those audiences are made up of school of students, mostly high school, middle school students. And we also have a wonderful education program. David Daniel has been our education director for a very long time and is also a core company actor, does magic work in the schools, and does that throughout the off season. So we have lots of opportunities available in classroom and through classroom studies. We also have a summer program called Summer Studio for middle schoolers and high schoolers. And also for young, you know, I have to plug our, for younger early career actors, a newer program called the Language Project, where Tracy Arnold and Jim Ridge have done amazing work creating a sort of a curriculum of how APT goes about decoding the language. Mm-hmm. And I'm very, very excited about that program and how they've done with it. And I think that it's going to, I think it has the power, honestly, to really change some things within the industry nationally.
Oh, that's exciting. Reed in Blanchardville emailed to put in a plug for Walking Around the Land Surrounding APT. Reed will be attending a bunch of plays in September. For the first time in a few years, checking out The Prairie on the Wild Side is high on his list as much as the plays. Richard emailed to ask, do you still have picnic lunches available? You really can make a day of this and a night as well, right?
Absolutely. We absolutely have picnics available. We have, for those who haven't been to APT, we have 110 acres and we have dozens of acres of just picnic areas that you can come, you can hike, talked about the walk and the nature walk, the prairie, restored prairie. We take a lot of pride in the area where APT is. Lots of audience members come hours before the play.
And I also want to say there's ample amount of bug spray, so don't worry about that one bit.
Absolutely.
The bugs have been good this summer, too. Let's be honest. They've been behaving.
Let's, before we run out of time here, let's get to Christy Quick in Dane County. Hi, Christy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. First of all, congratulations to APT. You're successful because of the great work you are all doing. I knew both Helen and Dale O'Brien and was their guest for dinner before this all started, and she shared her dream with us. So wow. You are doing exactly what she wanted. And she was into theater, obviously, as has already been said, but she was also into education. And I applaud your education projects and the language project. We enjoyed Tracy and Jim Ridge this spring as they were sharing that. And to let you know, we have tickets for the chairs tonight, and we're bringing a couple that this will be their first APT experience. So we are trying to continue your journey of sharing the joy.
Oh, I'm jealous, Christy. Thank you so much for the call. A reminder to get your tickets while they're still available. And I believe the, if I'm not mistaken here, I'm trying to figure out the Hills season runs through the start of October, right? And the Touchstone
correct.
Season runs a little bit longer than that into November.
That's correct. We have one more production, Witch by Jen Silverman, in the Touchstone in October and November.
So American Players Theater is the best place to get your tickets, to plan ahead, to find and make a day of it in Spring Green, because you will not regret it. And I what's next? Because you're always on to the next thing, because you're probably already reading scripts or rifling through them for the next season. Can you give us a glimpse of what the 48th season might look like at American Players?
Sarah would kill me. I would tell you everything. I'm always TMI, but she would kill me if I told people, because there's people who wait with bated breath to find that out in October. But we have 27, because this is 26, right? We're 27 planned already. I mean, as far as the shows are concerned,
oh,
we
wow.
now are starting to read for 28. So we have to do our planning so early. We start in the fall. We'll be casting starting in August this year for next season. So we'll be hiring and doing all that for next year early, before people even know it. Yep.
I'll
just say that 27 is a very exciting season. There's lots of really cool shows coming.
Well,
and we'll let you know in October.
Well, we won't get any hints out of you, but we'll have to catch up. But we'll definitely have to catch up with you then. And there is still time, plenty of time left in this season while there are tickets going fast for performances. Make a point of visiting Spring Green when you get the opportunity. And I hope you enjoy your time at American Players Theater. I want to thank you both for joining us today. I want to congratulate you both on your Tony Award winning, your Tony Award. And I want to thank you for having me out at American Players, because Matchmaker is stuck with me. And maybe that's what it, to some degree, is what it's all about for those that have been there for generations working there. And for those of us who get to enjoy the performances, it's that feeling we're left with after us that lingers, that never quite goes away, that we'll always remember. So thank you both for being here. Sarah Young, Brenda DeVita, American Players Theater. I'm out of time. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to WPR News.